From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, sunny this afternoon, the high of 93 with a low tonight of 60 and mostly clear, sunny and hot tomorrow with a high near 96. Currently 83 degrees. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here every day as we talk with folks around the area on Inside Douglas County. I wanted to check in with State Representative Cedric Hayden and cover a number of topics today. Thanks for being on the program again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. We'll just jump right in. Kyle, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, first of all, do you have any reaction to Portland? Portland's been getting a lot of attention, and even some in Eugene as well, with some of the activities, some of the protests, some things that have been taking place.
Well, as we've talked a little bit about here, you know, peaceful protests, people getting their ideas, their ability to have their freedom of speech are all great. But when those protests get to the point of riot, where they're causing, you know, physical damage, and, you know, in some cases, physical damage to people and not just the, you know, businesses, but setting fires and getting into that level of stuff is no longer peaceful protests. And so it's been really disappointing, I think, to kind of see the mayor's reaction up in Portland to this rather than addressing it and being, you know, supportive of the peaceful protests, but then taking on the rioting part of it. You know, people are getting worried. And so, you know, in Eugene today, we did see a little more aggressive condemnation of the type of, you know, protest that was getting out of hand this last weekend. And so Eugene's has come out publicly and said, you know, that's not okay. And they did, you know, multiple arrests. And interestingly, they were all local people here. I think Portland, we have, you know, some outside influences coming in and pushing that. And so, you know, they really need to allow our public safety officers to go in there and get a handle on that. So, you know, people are getting worried about this going too far, and it has gone too far, in my opinion.
So what, as a legislator, what meetings, committee meetings, et cetera, have you been involved in recently?
So this week, I was on another child care task force. We've talked about that, and they're kind of getting to their recommendation phases on child care task force. I've also been involved in the 770 workforce, which has continuing to meet, and that is figuring out how we're going to continue to provide health insurance. And you know, the hope, of course, is to expand it under today's global budget. I think that's going to be a difficult task to meet with. And then I've been on the governor's mental health advisory committee. Of course, the governor came in and abruptly closed that down last week. But the committee is still planning on meeting because they feel like they didn't really get to the point of wrap up. So that's a little interesting push and take. And so those are the task force that I've been working on. As far as committees meeting, ways and means committees meeting, these are the budget committees. I'm on the human services one, and that's where we're going to see the largest amount of funds through the Oregon Health Plan and through the Department of Human Services. That, you know, it's one of our largest expenses. And so that's where a lot of the cuts are. So there's a lot of attention to how that's going to roll out. So I'm on that. And then last week I had an interesting meeting. I'm on the Ways and Means Natural Resources. And, you know, they're taking funds out of right now, kind of a topic of discussion. You know, our fire season is a couple of weeks late. And so when they wrote this, you know, 10 days ago, they might have thought we were getting a pass on fire season like we did last year. Well, things are starting to heat up. They're cutting all the or many of the resources for fighting wildfire. So that's a concern, and cutting resources to go in and combat some of the fuels or fuel reduction projects that we have on that budget. And so that was something that I spoke up against in the Committee on Natural Resources. So, you know, just a large amount of cuts across the board. The other thing that is got people worried is the shuttering or the recommendation by the governor to close two of our prisons. Of course, both of those are in rural Oregon, Shutter Creek and Warner Creek, one in North Bend and down Lakeview. And, you know, when you have that type of agency or that type of job producing in a small rural area, if they're going to close those permanently, that's really going to affect our rural Oregon folks. So those are some of the hot topics that we've been, you know, you might not find as a hot topic on the, you know, hits list or something, but those are the things that I've been dealing with on the legislative side.
For the idea of potentially closing a couple of prisons, if you take the folks that are housed in those right now, disperse them in other places, don't you run the risk of intensifying the problem we've already seen with COVID-19 cases in the prisons? I mean, if you're going to put more people in other prisons, that would seem to be an issue there.
Well, if you close those two facilities, you are faced with two choices, or the governor is faced with two choices. One, to have overcrowding in the prisons, which speaks to the concern that you talked about, COVID, or two, like some other states, she does mass release programs and basically switches these sentences to where they're, or cuts them short, however they do that legally, to where she does a large prison release program. So, you know, my guess would be that that is what's in the back of her mind. She has done some, but not to the extent that we've seen in some other states, that if she closes those, that, you know, where are they going to go? We just don't have the facility if we close those two facilities in other areas of the state.
In about 45 minutes, the governor is going to talk more about metrics and health and safety plans for schools this fall. What is your take on the state education plans as they evolve?
Well, there's been an interesting conversation going around that. The governor's plan is to take $400 million out of the Ed Stability Funding. I kind of think of that as a rainy day fund, if you will. $400 million to maintain the $9 billion in the Ed budget. Of course, with COVID, all businesses, schools, you know, there's additional increased expenses. And they're looking at how they're going to do schools and have some local control, you know, just guessing on what the governor is going to come out with and what I've been able to read on that, how Colt Gill and the governor are going to set up the Department of Education going forward and how much virtual schools there's going to be. There's been an argument about, you know, how much do parents have their choice in getting their kids into a charter school that might have a little more activity going on or something a little better fit for them? And so there's kind of this internal struggle between the regular schools, if you will, and the charter schools. And then there's virtual charter schools versus brick and mortar charter schools. And there's been some confusion of whether students or parents can have their students enroll in a charter school, and some of the school districts are saying, no, we're not going to approve any of those, where it's the virtual charter schools that they're really meeting. So quite a bit of confusion about what's happening with schools going into the future, and hopefully we'll get some of that cleared up with this governor's announcement coming out. My hope is that we can safely reopen our schools and get our kids back into a school system. Unfortunately, some children are in a situation where the school is actually a safety net for them, and they need that for stability in their life. And there's if we don't get back to that, there is also harm on not having school on a regular base schedule for, you know, many of our children. Poverty is high, particularly in rural Oregon, and there's programs there to make sure that those kids have appropriate nutrition. And outside of school, there's a concern with that, too. So I think we have to have some balance there and get our schools open safely as quickly as we can.
You mentioned your involvement with the child care area. One component of having school be remaining not in the classroom in some places and be at home is the stress, strain, and issues that working parents have if they've got elementary age kids that need to be home to do school, yet the parent needs to work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the balancing acts here, right? If we don't have school and we don't have daycares opened, or at least not enough daycare facilities opened, you know, the parent is not able to leave a six-year-old at home, right, and go to work. I mean, that's obviously not appropriate. So then the parent has to stay home, or parents, depending on the situation there. You know, if you've got a single parent, obviously that household's not going to have income coming in from work to the level that they can if they can have school. So, you know, not having school really disrupts the lives of many families. It doesn't provide services, safety net services, that some of our children desperately need. It doesn't provide the social setting. And the Oregon State Athletic Association just came out recently and said that they're, you know, indefinitely for this year not doing some of our sports, particularly football. And, you know, my hope is that we find a way to get the kids back in school, to be safe about it, to do it at the local level, and, you know, make appropriate decisions if they do have to dial some things back. But these kids need that environment. They need education. They need those services that are available, and they need the social setting.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Cedric Hayden with us. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's program, we get a look at the Sutherland School District as they get ready for the fall and some of their current plans. That'll be on tomorrow's program. Superintendent Terry Prestiani coming in for Inside Douglas County. State Representative Cedric Hayden with us now, covering a lot of things regarding his work as a lawmaker. Obviously, you don't have to go far to think about budgets these days. How are things looking for the state of Oregon right now in the state financial budget?
So it looks like we're going to be coming back for that second special session sometime in August. We have been given tentative dates of, this is kind of interesting, well, maybe it'll be August 5th. Well, maybe it'll be August 10th. Well, maybe it'll be third week of August. I really don't have anything more solid than that, other than the uptake of activity around budgets has been increasing to the level that it was prior to about 10 days prior to the first special session when all that kind of got put on hold. And so, you know, we're looking at coming in and making, you know, 17% to 20% in budget cuts, and now it's going through the phase of having some public hearings, as much as we can call these virtual hearings, public hearings. You know, it's just really hard, like you and I just talked about, daycare, really, really tough for parents looking at this school. We just had an opportunity for a virtual public hearing on childcare for 40 minutes, and nobody signed up, you know, and that's not that the public doesn't really care about that issue. It's just really hard to, you know, have these meetings set up and have them all online and have them in, you know, it's like Zoom. We don't actually use Zoom. We're using Microsoft Teams meetings for most of these meetings. But, you know, to have that public hearing and 40 minutes set aside and nobody signed up to comment on daycare is not a lack of interest in people with daycare and what they're going to do if we don't have school. It's just the fact that the public is really not able to engage in this virtual world. So, you know, we've been working on that. We've been working on budgets. And, you know, one of the things that the coordinated care organizations are, which is our Oregon Health plan, they're very concerned. There's slating to cut $97 million out of that program when the feds came in and gave a 6.2% bump. The state is looking at taking that back. Other things that we're concerned about seeing is the $1.6 billion of the federal government stimulus money, if you will, to combat COVID is not getting down to our county level. You know, Douglas County, Lane County, of course, are areas that I represent. And they have plans to get them $200 million to the county level out of that with a promise of another $200 million for a total of $400 million, you know, out of the $1.6 billion. So, you know, our counties and local governments have been cut really short, in my opinion, on that funding, and they need that funding to make these local programs and get us all back working. And so those are kind of some of the arguments that we're going to have going into this budget schedule. But again, it's really hard for the public to engage and get public comment. And that's, you know, it was kind of disappointing this morning after so much work that I've done in childcare that we just can't get that out to get feedback from our parents out there.
How do you balance the needs of some departments in the state to clearly provide more services with the reality of having less money right now?
Well, you know, I did a press release the other day, and there's, you know, things that folks want to have done, and there's things that we were setting up programs into the future with funds that, you know, 6 months ago we thought was coming in as our budgets were increasing and increasing. What I have recommended is those programs that haven't kicked in at this point is that we should, you know, not necessarily stop those programs. I'm not saying that they're not good things in some cases, but to put a hold on those rather than keep spending into the future on new programs, and concentrate on the existing services that we have so we can better manage some of that. And the state's answer to that is no, you know, we're going to wait for the federal government to come bail us out. You know, I don't know. Federal government gave us a couple of billion dollars. I don't think that they're going to come back with another couple of billion dollars. And so relying on that possibility, I think, is a little bit, you know, misleading from where we're at budgetary wise to say that, you know, the feds are going to come, you know, with more stimulus money. They may. There's talk right now of that, particularly talk of another $1,200 at the individual level. But at the government level, the state level, and particularly that getting, we've already seen problems with that getting down to the county level. I don't think we can plan on it.
There's no illusion that the Republicans and the Democrats in the legislature are always getting along. We've had a lot of issues, just quite the opposite in the past couple of years. Is that relationship between both sides of the aisle, is that still as strained as it has been recently?
Well, you know, in the first session, we went through some pretty tough stuff for some of us to sit down and have some honest conversation, and just kind of the attitude in the atmosphere, whether I was feeling it right or wrong about our public safety officers, which I strongly support. You know, we went through that, and I thought we did a pretty good job. Republicans did a pretty good job trying to be fair and balanced and look at, you know, all sides of this. And going forward, and I was, you know, relatively happy with where we're at. And now, what we're hearing, and I was reading these LCs last night, not all of them are even out for print yet. These are legislative concepts. They're coming back, you know, and we were supposed to go into the 2021 session and, you know, get more public input with COVID. Again, that's really hard to get. Some of these policing issues are very difficult issues to, you know, just have one or two people write a bill and make really some sweeping changes that can adversely affect, in my opinion, so our public safety officers that are out there doing the right thing, you know, working every day to keep us safe, and we need to have them have those tools. What we're hearing is in this, not only are we going to do budgets, but we're going to do another round of some of these legislations that I think, from what I was reading last night, are going to take away some of the tools that our public safety officers really need, rather than have a robust discussion about them that I was supportive of, and having you know, work groups and come to some consensus, rather than just a carte blanche, you know, you can't do this, or you can't have that, or you can't have that, or you have to have, you know, this reporting internally, and, you know, make every police officer's a, you know, an internal reporter, you know, that kind of discussion without, or that kind of legislation without full robust discussion is disappointing to see on the heels of the cooperation that I thought we did have in the first special session.
All right, out of time for now. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQAN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.